Well, let's read from the scriptures as we turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 20. Matthew 7, 15 to 20. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Well, there is no doubt about it. The coronavirus is an awful, deadly disease. It's an invisible enemy. Stay at home has been the message from our government. You are safe in your homes. Stay safe. Every day we're being warned to be careful. But we're being warned not just to be careful in terms of catching or spreading the virus, but we're being warned at the minute too about being careful of being caught out by scams and fraudsters. Recently, the City of London Police reported a 400% increase of coronavirus-related scams and fraud. We're to be wary of people coming knocking on our door, because there are some who are only too happy to swindle unsuspecting prey. Watch out! And it would be easy, with all of these warnings and alerts and reminders, it would be easy to think that the greatest dangers to us, they all lie out there somewhere. Coronavirus, criminals, corruption. But as Jesus continues in his Sermon on the Mount, he would tell us something different. Yes, COVID-19 and crime and corruption, they're all dangerous. Of course they are. You should take every sensible precaution. But the greatest danger for you, if you're a believer, the greatest danger for you is not out there somewhere. It's in here. It's in our homes. It's online. It's in your bookcases, potentially. It's in your Kindles. It's in your iTunes library. It's on the Christian conference circuit. It's in our social media feed. It's on YouTube. It's on the God channel. And with the current explosion of online ministry at the minute, this is a particularly prominent danger. Jesus is warning us here of the deadly danger that is the false teacher. The false teacher, something more deadly and more dangerous than coronavirus. And I wonder what you think about false teachers. How seriously do you view false teaching? Is it someone who is just a bit naive, misguided in their doctrine? Are they entitled to their own little opinion? Should we not be a bit more broad-minded maybe about these things? Well, not according to Jesus. Not when these are issues of life and death, issues of eternal life and eternal death. Remember, Jesus, in the previous couple of verses, he has given the either-or scenario of two ways to live. He's described the broad road and the narrow road. The broad road that leads to destruction and the narrow road that leads to life. And having asked us to consider which road we're on, Jesus now wants us to consider which kind of teacher will we listen to? Will we listen to the teacher who urges us to enter the narrow gate, the teacher who urges us to stay on the narrow road that leads to life? Or will we listen to the voices, the teachers who tell us not to worry too much about it all, because it'll all be okay? The teacher who just always says nice things, pleasant things to make us feel better. The false teacher. And such a teacher, Jesus says, is not naively misguided. They are not harmlessly spouting nonsense. They are deceptively leading people to hell. To hell. It's that serious. Jesus calls us to beware the false teacher. Watch out for the wolves. Watch out for the wolves. And friends, in a day when preachers, ministers, teachers are all over the world wide web, let's not delude ourselves into thinking that all that glitters is gold. Let's not assume that everything under the name of Christian is of Christ. There are wolves about. There are wolves about, and you must beware. You must be watchful. We want to think of those two attitudes. We want to beware and we want to be watchful in this message as we look at these verses, chapter 7, verses 15 to 20. So let's think firstly, beware of false teachers. Beware of false teachers. Jesus gets straight to the point in verse 15. Beware of false prophets. And when we read prophets there, we shouldn't simply think Old Testament figures like Isaiah or Jeremiah, who merely predicted the future as if that was their only function. Future tellers. Yes, that was part of their role, but prophets were much more than just future tellers. Most of the time, they simply declared God's word. They got up in front of people and they said, "Thus says the Lord." That was their job, to explain and apply God's word. So the warning here is to beware of false prophets, false teachers, false explainers of God's word. And we could say three things about them at this point. The first we could say is they exist. They exist. Jesus wouldn't be telling us to beware false teachers if this was not a real problem. They exist. In his day, it was the teachers of the law and the Pharisees. But all throughout the scriptures, false teachers, they appear again and again and again. Almost every letter of the New Testament tackles this issue. It's very clear Jesus is seriously concerned about the danger of false teachers. And we may not like to think about it. Most of us like to think the best of people. We like to give people the benefit of the doubt, don't we? And yet the truth of the matter is, false teachers exist. They claim to speak from God, but they twist it and they distort it and they dilute it and they falsify it. And they're nothing but phonies and cheats and fraudsters. They're teaching something other than what Jesus taught. And they've always been around. And until Christ returns, they will always be around. He says as much later in Matthew. He explicitly says they will be around right up to the end of the age. Matthew 24, verse 11. Many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. So let's not put our heads in the sand and pretend that everything is rosy here. Let's not delude ourselves into thinking, this is just a bit hypothetical, Robert, or this is just historical. No, this is real, and it touches down in your life and in mine, the first thing you need to know about false teachers, they exist. The second thing, they are dangerous. Dangerous. Beware false teachers because they exist and they are dangerous. Notice a warning Jesus gives at the start of verse 15. Beware. It's a strong word, a severe word. It's a word that should stop us in our tracks. The tone he uses here, it's much the sort of tone a parent would use with their children if they see them running into disaster or danger. It's the sort of emergency voice that should stop children right in their tracks. Watch out! That's the idea here. Jesus is articulating with great urgency. You need to be on your guard. You need to beware false teachers. You need to watch out for the wolves. Don't pay attention to them. Don't follow them. Don't listen to them. They're dangerous. Why are they so dangerous? Well, the end of verse 15 describes they are like ravenous wolves. Like ravenous wolves. I'm sure you can appreciate. The number one enemy of sheep in Bible times was the wolf. He was their most fearsome predator. And given the right opportunity, a wolf would snatch a sheep from the flock and just rip it to shreds. Jesus says, that's the false teacher. They're out to tear and destroy the flock. And they're ferocious and they're merciless and they're extremely dangerous. And maybe one of the most dangerous things about them is that some of them, they wouldn't even describe themselves as ravenous wolves. They could be the most sincere people you've ever met, but sincerely wrong. And just because someone might not think they're a ravenous wolf doesn't mean they aren't one. So you must not think false teachers are good and well-meaning. They're dangerous wolves, and they're out to keep people from the narrow road that leads to life. They are dangerous. And then that leads us to the third description of these false teachers. It's this that makes them so dangerous. Thirdly, they are deceptive. They are deceptive. And that's the real difficulty here with false teachers. They don't come with a great big neon sign saying, warning, warning, these are false teachers. No. On first appearances, they seem like anything but a false teacher. Along they come and they appear to be thoroughly Christian. They seem to say all the right things. You don't suspect anything is wrong at all. In fact, they appear to be utterly harmless. But Jesus says, they come to you in sheep's clothing. You see, they don't look or appear like false teachers. They may look like some of the holiest people around. They could go under the title of teacher or minister or pastor or elder, but they could still be a false teacher. Apparently, shepherds in Bible times would have worn wool cloaks for their work. It would have got very cold, especially at night time, and the shepherd would have turned the fleece from his sheep into a coat, a garment, or a cloak to wear. And what Jesus is implying here is not so much that the wolf disguises himself as one of the sheep, but rather the wolf disguises himself as a shepherd. As a shepherd, he's disguised as the shepherd, and that's much worse, isn't it? They might look the part, they might look and sound like a shepherd, but inwardly they're a ravenous wolf. And instead of feeding the sheep, false teachers are out to feed on the sheep. all the while masquerading as a shepherd. They appear innocent, they appear to belong, but yet underneath there's violence and devastation and murder. Just imagine a wolf luring a little sheep. And imagine the sheep blissfully unaware. Now imagine the frenzy and blood of a vicious attack. What have you witnessed? A Sunday sermon. A best-selling book. The latest Christian song. A popular conference speaker, a Christian YouTube channel, a blog post, a podcast. All it takes to tear a Christian apart is a false teacher to preach a false Christianity. And sometimes you'll be able to spot a false teacher by his outright heresy, where he clearly and outrightly contradicts the Bible. But other times, the false teacher is very subtle, deceptive, and you'll hardly even realize it. And he talks plenty about Jesus, and he talks about the cross, and he talks about God, and he talks about the Bible and the church and the Holy Spirit. And actually, often the problem isn't so much in what they say, but rather in what they don't say. Many a false teacher has no narrow road in his gospel, and very little mention of sin and hell and humility and brokenness. Very often he only has comfortable, comforting messages, and he pleases everybody, and everybody speaks well of him, the false teacher. People flock to these false teachers because they're so warm and lovable and charming. They have such great people skills. They're kind and they're helpful. The things they share, that they're so uplifting. They never say anything that makes people feel bad about themselves. They speak words that just warm people's hearts all the time. And more often than not, they don't speak any words of conviction. Isaiah 30 verse 10 tells us, false teachers will speak to us smooth things. Jeremiah 6 14 tells us, they are saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. 2 Timothy 4 verse 3 tells us, they will tickle your ears by sharing things you want to hear. And the whole time, of course, they're mimicking their father, the devil. After all, the devil doesn't come to us as the evil boogeyman, does he? Who would follow him if he did that? No, the devil never shows us the terrible creature he is. No, the Bible tells us he masquerades as the angel of light. And that's what false teachers do. And the whole time the gullible sheep are thinking, wow, this shepherd is great. This shepherd, he's leading us to good places. But he's a wolf. He's a wolf. And how much harm has been done to the church over the years by these ravenous wolves. And how we need to beware, friends, of false teachers. And how we need to flee to the good shepherd, the real shepherd, Jesus Christ. Beware of false teachers. But we're not left hopeless here. We're not left to the mercy of these deceivers. No, Jesus gives us ways by which we can recognize them. So let's look secondly. We're told firstly, beware of false teachers. Let's look secondly, be watchful for false teachers. Be watchful for false teachers. How do we go about recognizing and identifying false teachers? Do we need to hire a crack commando team of theological experts, send them to to hunt and search for false teachers? Do we need to hold intensive heresy interrogations? Well, let's note three things here about being watchful for false teachers. Firstly, they are among the flock. They are among the flock. Verse 15 begins, "Beware of false prophets who come to you." Who come to you. That is to say, this problem, it's not an outside the church kind of a problem. We do not need to send out heresy hunters for this kind of problem. It's an inside the church kind of problem. You don't need to go looking for them, as it were. They come to you. These wolves, that they have a taste for sheep. And you will find that they are found among the flock of God. They're found within the visible church. Some of you will have watched Line of Duty, a BBC drama series which follows the ups and downs of an anti-corruption unit, police unit, responsible for uncovering corruption within the police force. And it's incredibly popular, following the ups and downs of AC12. And it's won multiple awards. People are just fascinated at this glimpse into a world of deception and corruption within the police itself. Jesus tells us, though, there's a far bigger corruption problem inside the visible church. And you don't need to go looking for them. They're closer than you think. And that's one of the reasons, isn't it, friends, that we have elders in the church and we have presbyteries to help protect us from false teaching. Our elders, they take their role very seriously to guard the teaching in the congregation, that should I teach error, they would challenge me on it. And that's one of the jobs of elders, is to protect you, the sheep, from bad doctrine. Titus 1 verse 9 says as much. And we need to pray then that God would give us elders, in particular, elders of wisdom and courage and discernment, that they would be able and willing and strong enough to deal with false teachers and false teaching. But Jesus goes further to help us identify false teachers. He doesn't just say they are among the flock. In verse 16, he quickly changes metaphors, and having spoken about wolves and sheep, he now speaks of trees and fruit. So let's think of a second way we can be watchful. They will be recognized by their fruits. They will be recognized by their fruits. Verse 16, you will recognize them by their fruits. And the same thing again, verse 20. Faulty teaching is the problem. How do we detect it? By looking at the fruit. In other words, what can you see here? What can you hear coming to you? In the sermon you're listening to, or the book you're reading, or the SU speaker who's visiting, or the Christian music you're listening to, does what is said and taught, does it match with Scripture? Is the teaching in accordance with the Bible? Or does this teacher claim to be revealing some new truth that has never been taught before? Be discerning. Be vigilant. Keep your critical faculties alert. Keep your theological antennae up. That's why it's so important, you see, to know your Bible and to have your Bible open in front of you when you're being taught. You know, one of the things I miss most with this whole online preaching format, one of the things I miss most is that I don't hear any pages of any Bibles being turned as I'm reading or as scripture passages are being quoted. You need to check these things. And if the whole thing's too fast for you, just note the references so that you can check them later. One advantage of online services, of course, is that you can listen again for a second time, a third time, or you can pause, you can rewind, just to be clear about it. In other words, be a Berean. That's what we're talking about. Be a Berean. You know who the Bereans were. Acts 17, verse 11. We're told about them. They examined the scriptures to see if the things Paul taught them were true. And you know, if they thought that needed to be done with Paul's teaching, how you and I, we should be doing that with every teacher that comes our way. Look at the fruit. Listen carefully to what's being taught. Be discerning. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets, many false teachers have gone out into the world. But you know, sometimes with false teaching, on appearances, it can all look and it can all sound okay. There may not be anything very unusual on appearances. And that brings us to what Jesus says in verse 16 about grapes and figs. Apparently in Jesus' day there was a certain thistle and it bore black berries that looked very much like grapes. And there was also a certain thistle that had a flower. And that flower, from a distance, it looked like a fig. So one thistle, its berries, they look like grapes. Another thistle, its flower, it looked like figs. But one bite from those thistle berries, they would have proved instantly they weren't grapes. And a closer look at the flower, it would certainly have proved it wasn't a fig. And it's often the case, isn't it, with false teachers. At first glance, from a distance, the quality of fruit may not be apparent. And it may not be apparent immediately, but upon closer inspection and over the course of time, Jesus says, false teachers, they will be revealed. Because a bad tree cannot help but bring forth bad fruit. In other words, don't just see how he opens his Bible, but look at his life. Look at his life, and given time, a man's life will reveal his true nature. Ask yourself, is godliness flowing and growing out of this man? Is the fruit of the Spirit evident in his life? Because if not, if the life of Christ is not evident, alarm bells should begin to ring. If you want to assess the health or otherwise of a suspect preacher, Jesus gives us the test of orthodoxy. Christ-likeness. Christ-likeness. Be watchful, friends, for false teachers. They are among the flock and they will be recognized by their fruits. And a third thing, a third way in terms of being watchful, they will be thrown into the fire. They will be thrown into the fire. What's the fate false teachers can expect? What's going to happen to people who do such things to the flock of God? Jesus makes it abundantly clear. Verse 19. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. The false teacher may enjoy applause and popularity in this life, here and now. He may be able to deceive the flock for an awful long time. But he will eventually be judged for his error and rebellion. And false teachers will be judged, friends, more severely than others. James 3, verse 1. Not many of you should presume to become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. Peter says about false teachers, 2 Peter 2, verse 17, for them the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved. That is to say, there is literally a special place in hell for false teachers. There's a special place in hell for false teachers. And I would be a false teacher if I did not warn all of you about something similar Jesus said in this respect. And this time it's not just about false teachers. This time it's about anyone who doesn't believe in him. John 15, verse 6, he said, if anyone does not abide in me, if anyone does not remain in me, if anyone is not a part of me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, he says, thrown into the fire and burned. That is to say, this judgment of fire and darkness, it awaits not only false teachers, but everyone who fails to abide in Christ, everyone who remains on the broad road. On the other hand, if we come to Christ, confessing our sin, entering into the narrow gate, we find him to be our true life source, and we can receive his life, and we can receive his fruitfulness. That's the way to bear true and real and lasting fruit, friends. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. So friends, watch out for the wolves. Watch out for the wolves. They are about. Flee to the shepherd. Remain in him and bear much fruit to his glory. Amen.